This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Matt Clement, he joins us, former big leaguer. We just like to chew the fat with him a little bit. Matt, did you dig out up there, man? You all safe? How's everything?
Well, the stakes held up. I had a couple go down for the count with the plow, but we can still see our driveway, and we're surviving.
Well, we're glad. We're glad you made it. Was school canceled? Was your game canceled? Did you play? How did you do this week?
Well, school was 2-hour delay yesterday, and I was just telling producer Matt, we might have to change this date to Thursday next year, because I'm either like flying high the next morning after a game, or reeling like I am right now. We lost one basically at the buzzer last night against Pine Ridge. Oh. Good basketball game, tough result, and the emotions are. I'm a roller coaster of emotions on this Wednesday morning at 7 a.m.
Coaching. It's all you lose a lot. end game situations. I seem to. I don't know. It comes down to coaching.
There's either six guys on the floor, or else it doesn't.
I totally blame myself. I always totally blame myself.
Well, this is your opportunity, Matt, to be the role model for the kids and compartmentalize, right, and move on to the next one or whatever cliche you want to use.
I'm on to the fan.
All right,
there you go.
Tell us about the Steelers here, because we've been knocking this around just a little bit. I don't know. We don't know how to feel about. Well, we do know how to feel about Matt Canada. I think we think that he's not very good, but we also do think that it's probably right that he gets an opportunity to at least show that he might not be very good with all his own parts. Is that fair?
It was a really confusing game plan the other day, and to blame it all on Matt Canada, I don't know if you can't. It's easy too, I guess, right? But was the game plan that they were going to shut out the Chiefs, I guess? I don't know, because it seemed like they were very conservative. And, I guess the fan and all of us wants to just see Ben come out and swing it around 70 times, whether they're 1-yard passes or not, and say, here's the Adam Wainwright swan song going in the playoff game. I compared it to the other day, pitching and saying, you know what, Ben, go win us a game doing what you got to do because you understand it better than all of us. And instead, I guess they really didn't let him do that until there was no chance. So I don't know what the answer is, and it is fair to say let him get his own parts, and is also is it all his fault? I mean, you have to think that game plan came from everywhere, from the whole staff. That's what they decided was the best way to go about beating the Chiefs, and that's a tall task to go in there and win too at the same time.
Well,
it is, and you come up with a plan, and I came up with a plan last night that I thought was going to work, and it didn't work. And it's easy to criticize after it doesn't work, I guess. As a coach, I know how that feels. It's just going to be, you can't really answer any questions until you know who the quarterback's going to be. And I hope that they. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to bring in some kind of competition for Rudolph at the very least. And there's a lot of people there's a lot of good things about the Steelers that it's not like you're bringing them into a franchise right now. It's the Jags that has a million parts that has to be figured out. There's a good receiving core there, a great young running back there, a lot of great parts on the defense that are there, and a franchise that has a a history of not having a losing season forever. So, a veteran quarterback could roll in there very easily, or, you get some young stud in the draft somehow and build from there. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it.
Yeah, how much change really needs to happen, Matt? Because you sound pretty pretty positive as compared to some people I've talked to in the last week or two about where they are, relatively speaking, to being a contender again. You know, you mentioned the receiving core, and so you mentioned a lot of the positive things they have going for them, but there are changes that need to be made. If I gave you carte blanche to walk into 3400 South Water Street and do whatever you wanted, what would you do?
Well, I think that the big thing is obviously the offensive line is major. But I think that, like, you know, you can't really, the quarterback is number one right now. You've had the stability of quarterback and a winner at quarterback for all these 18 years or whatever it is. It's an amazing number, whatever it is. And he's not there anymore. But I think, I guess the point I'm making is, you know, I talk about the receiving core. I'm not even talking about the tight end you have too. And you know, it's an attractive landing spot for somebody. Like if I'm a veteran quarterback, or even when the Rodgers stuff was floating around, like everybody's like, oh, he's not going to come here. I'm like, if he's going to leave there, what better place to come? You know, you have everything in place and you draft linemen and you know, it's not a terrible situation. You know, defense isn't that far away, but I think offensive line seems like, you know, me not being a football expert, offensive line is the reason that, you know, Ben seemed to throw all these 1 and 2 yard passes these last couple of years because he didn't have time and he had to get rid of it. And, you know, I think that's the number one place to start. And I'm sure there's some spots on defense. There's a couple patches on defense that they throw in there. And that defense isn't, to me, that defense isn't that far away from being a Steelers defense.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Our friend Matt Clement, that we just talk sports with because, well, he's fun to do that with. How do you interview assistant coaches? Like, let's say you have an opening on yours. And look, it's high school basketball. It's a lot different than the NFL. But I think that there's a theory and there's some things that could be commonalities. Are you ever afraid of, well, this person is too strong with their opinion, this person isn't strong enough? Tell me how you, if you have an opening for an assistant, how you go about filling it.
Well, I mean, my number one criteria when I think about an assistant that's going to come help me, whether it be in my high school, because I'm in control basically from seventh grade up who we hire. And the number one, it's easy answer for me is loyalty. If they're going to be, you know, if they're going to be paddling a different direction than me, and, you know, after the game, second guessing everything I'm doing to whoever and whatever the case may be, or somebody that's, you know, obviously young coaches should want to ascend to having higher jobs, but if they're only after my job potentially, that's just not going to end up working out well for anybody. Mm-hmm. It just causes more problems and friction. So for me, that loyalty end to me is even more important than how great of a skill or X's and O's coach they are at the high school level. Because if I lose that end of it, it, you know, in a small town and whatever the case may be, that turns into bad real quick. I'm at the point now, this being my 14th year, where I almost have all of my staff are former players of mine. So it's an easy criteria for me. I'm bringing a former player who, you know, they want to come back and coach because they played the right way. They played hard. They were all about the program. They were all about Butler. They weren't about themselves, you know, and they come in and know what it takes and know the system and know everything I'm doing. And I've had a lot of success with it. Sometimes I only get them for 1 or 2 years because they move on and get, you know, a girlfriend and a new job or move and get married or whatever the case may be. But all the ones that I've had have been really successful. And I have a couple guys. I have actually my seventh grade coach is in his 51st year of coaching. And I think 45 of them are at Butler. And he, you know, he was tremendously loyal to me when I first got the job as a retired baseball player. And when he could have easily thought, why does he have the job? He was loyal to me. And from that sense, I'm loyal to him. And, you know, it's a good situation when you have former players and people that have went through the program involved.
You're telling me this guy's coached basketball for 51 years at the junior high level?
Yes, he has.
Oh, my. Does Butler still play at that where we played at junior high where you had to walk down those submarine steps down into the locker room? You know what I'm talking about?
That Butler does still play their seventh and eighth grade games there.
Uh-huh.
There isn't – the submarine steps are not there, though. They replaced them.
Okay.
Sometime when I was playing baseball, those disappeared because I went to the junior high one day and they were gone.
All right.
So, you know, but it is still the same gym. It is – probably on its last year or so. We're getting an auxiliary gym at the high school. They're finally getting an auxiliary gym at the high school, which I think it'll move those games up there. And I think they're, I don't know how much longer that school is going to be in existence.
Gotcha.
Does this ever happen? Look, you there's a lot of people working for Butler schools, coaches, teachers, yourself included. How often do you have someone who doesn't understand how to work the email, Matt, and they send the reply all?
Oh. Yeah, we got that today from someone in
our
office.
I think I got one of those last night from one of my players. I got a quick apology after, but no, you know what? The reply all is
dangerous.
It's dangerous and can be an extremely annoying factor too, right?
Yes. Yes. Because then everybody jumps in.
What did the one say from the player? Was he like, coach sucks, I need to play more, whatever? Was it something incriminating like that?
No, it was something. It was something innocent that he meant to send to his dad. But
coach sucks, I need to play more.
Can you believe coach tried to sneak six guys onto the floor again?
Right.
I probably wouldn't have brought it up if it said that.
Okay. All right.
So, no, but it's like that's definitely an annoyance of mine. In general, I need to learn how to silence my conversations, that I don't want to hear all the time. Because when one person chimes into a group text message, it seems like there's like 70 to come right behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. Some days I'm ready to. I just would like to throw my phone off the Highland Park Bridge and just be done with it and not communicate with anyone. I think a lot of people feel that way, though. It might be easier. Seriously.
I'm excited that you brought up the spiral stair steps at the junior high. That made my morning.
It was. I'm telling you, I believe that you may have had to put your foot on the wall inbounding the ball, too. The floor was so tight at that place.
Well, there's the overhang. You have the balcony, and you might have an inch and a half of three-point area in the corners. And you don't even have, you can't even shoot a corner three at that place. So
I do remember playing. It was dark, it was dank, it was a close game at halftime. And I remember walking down those spiral steps, and our junior high, our eighth grade coach, just giving it to us down there, just screaming at us.
It's not as intimidating as going from an elementary to into the middle, because we went from sixth to seventh grade and going down those spiral steps into gym class. That's even more intimidating.
It was either in seventh or eighth grade, and I forget who it was. Somebody just poured on a gazillion points against us in the eighth grade. I was in seventh or I was in eighth, and somebody had a ton of points. Whatever year, it would have been 94. I don't know if it was like Bellis or Sloboda or one of those guys. They were just killing us. And our coach.
94.
Yes.
Graduating year?
Yes.
Or 94? It would have been Bellis.
And the coach was screaming at us. But anyway, so that I'll never.
You got me with the spiral staircase. You got a Sloboda mention online. I mean, we're having a big Butler day.
We are. I'll never forget it. All right, Matt. Thank you much. I sent you back memory lane, which is always fun to do.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
All right,
see you, Matt.
We'll see
you too.
Yes.
Get over the loss quickly.
Those steps, though. And they used to have them in gyms around here. And it was in the corner.
Yeah.
Of the gym,
yeah.
Like of the playing surface, and they just had like a little gate in front of it, so you didn't fly down it during play.
Right, right.
But you went down into this locker, and if you were and I wasn't tall enough really, but some of the kids were, where you could hit your head.
Oh, you'd smack your head right off the ceiling.
Down. And we got down there, and our coach was like, you know what? We come all the way up here, and you guys act like a bunch of jackoffs, like you never played basketball in your life. You're letting this kid beat the hell out of you. You know? I was just like, what do you want us to do? He's gigantic. What do you want from us here? Oh man, yes. Butler was intimidating back in the day. Spiral stairs,
those old gyms.
And the gym was like a darker brown floor. Like the color, it was so old.
Yeah, the oils
and stuff from
it's like
it.
Like Hoosiers.
It was. It was like Terhune. Yeah. Who is this? Is this Terhune? Ulitic? Who are we playing here? Anyway, Breakfast Bites coming up next.
So things haven't been going so hot up in Edmonton lately for the Oilers. They've scuffled a bit for a while now, and it's getting to the point where things are getting testy between the Stars and the media, including Leon Draisaitl.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Media relations guy in the background trying to break things up. That's Jim Matheson, a reporter who's been covering
the Hall of Fame reporter. What a loser. I think he's a total loser for doing that. Total loser.
Why are you so pissy?
Yeah, I mean, how serious do we take ourselves as media members? In a serious conversation here, what does he want? Am I wrong, or isn't Leon Draisaitl leading the league in points, in goals and assists? I mean, he's got to be amongst the – if he's not leading, he's right there with Ovechkin, right? I mean, he's Leon Draisaitl's played his ass off this year. It's not – does he want him to say, I've played really well, but the other guys on my team aren't good? He's got to be – he's right there. He's at the top of the league.
Second in points, yep.
So what answer does he want from Leon Draisaitl? Like, the guy can't win. Hey, our goaltending's no good. Hey, the other guys on my team stink. What does he want from Leon Draisaitl? That's the first question there.
I mean, I know what he wants. He wants a more an answer with a little more introspection, and I understand wanting that, but to come back with why are you being so pissy is just.
But what was the first question though?
Hold on, let me
because I want to get to the dynamics of the first question and try to kind of pry this.
The losses now. Is there one thing that you in your own mind you're saying we got to get better at that?
Okay, so that's the first question.
Right.
Is there one thing? And probably, what is that right answer to that question? I wonder if Draisaitl, because if Draisaitl, the only true answer to all of that is probably pointing the finger at other people if he's playing at a level that's that high.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, and it is a leading question.
Did you say, I need to score more goals? Oh, hell, I'm leading the league in goals. I guess I got to score more.
I think if you're Leon Draisaitl in that case, you go with, well, look, there's no one thing. We know we can all be better. That, you know, it leads you to the typical cliched answer. I don't think the question's very good. I think it's something we would ask each other in sports talk radio. What's that one thing
that's
killing the Edmonton Oilers right now? It's not a very good question, I don't think, for eliciting a good introspective response from the subject.
Once you're met with resistance as the reporter,
you can't.
You're not the show. And so many people in sports talk radio and media and whatever, they take them, especially in that forum. We're on the air right here offering opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of are the show, but we still have to remember, like if you go into a press conference room and you're interviewing athletes, you're not the show. You don't exist unless they exist. Unless the sport exists, you don't have an opinion on it. And it's just, it's people like that who think they're holier than thou. It's people like that who think they're bigger than the game that are buffoons.
Yeah, I just have no time for people in any walk of life who take themselves way too seriously. And that's what this is. This is not getting the answer that you wanted and kind of throwing a tantrum over it, right?
Move on.
There are thousands of times I've asked a question, whether it was a good question or not a well-crafted question, and it didn't get the kind of response I wanted.
Just take your L and go.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of the job. It's part of the gig. If the guy doesn't want to answer questions, unfortunately, he's the one they put up on the podium that day. If he doesn't want to answer them, and maybe it's specific to Matheson, because it sounds like there's something there between the two of them. And he doesn't want to answer your question. Unfortunately, that's the spot that you're stuck in. Write your piece around the lack of answers, I guess.
I think he sounded like a jerk, and he tried to make Draisaitl sound like a jerk. And unfortunately, I think some people will think that Draisaitl did come off sounding like a jerk, even though he was just seemingly painted into a corner. Just so weird.
The
so
Canadian
weird.
Media gets very angry when their teams are not playing
so
well, too.
So weird.
They almost take it personally.
Yep.
Like, they're being personally affronted by poor play.
Especially with a non-Canadian player like that, with a German player.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, he's not one of us, eh?
Nope.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we kind of outlined it yesterday a bit in what all of the successful quarterbacks still alive in the NFL playoffs. Well, they all have a pretty similar body type, right? 6'1 at the smallest.
6'2, I think. Jimmy G's the smallest.
6'2 at the smallest. Yeah. You know, no smaller than 220 maybe. And obviously, mobility is a bonus, but we know size looks like is increasingly important at the quarterback position. Not that it's ever been unimportant before at the quarterback position. But Mike Tomlin yesterday, in his meeting with the media, spoke about a lot of different things. And some of it we've heard before, right? We've heard him talk about how he likes to see a quarterback who can move around a bit.
Asked you after the bye week what you noticed while you were watching games, and you said the impact of quarterback mobility. As you look at your quarterback room, as you plan for the future, how important of an element is that?
Man, quarterback mobility is valued, not only by me, but everyone. It's just a component of today's game, and increasingly so.
A component of today's game, and increasingly so. So what do we think Mike Tomlin's quarterback profile looks like? We kind of profiled what the successful guys left in the playoffs look like right now. What do you think if he could build his
exactly
QB1?
If Dwayne Haskins was good. No, I mean, we laugh, but, you know, I think that's it. I think that's precisely what he's looking at.
Does he want a Dwayne Haskins, or does he want to go so far as
230 pounds
and a little bit of mobility, right? Like,
he's not a running quarterback,
right?
But he can get out of the pocket a little bit.
Yes. Or would Mike Tomlin rather have? No, look, everybody I think would rather have a guy of the talent level of Lamar Jackson, right? But would he want, if he could get a Lamar Jackson 2.0, would he want that, do you think?
No, I think that those guys are, I think he probably thinks those guys are too fragile, and those guys, there still needs to be the element of being able to make the big throw at the big time.
Right.
And have we seen enough from Lamar Jackson where he can make the big throw at the big time to lead his team whenever you just can't run, when it's third and 12 and you've got to throw
it? If there were a quarterback who
could. And this is AFC North action, too.
If there were a quarterback who could run almost like Lamar, almost like a running back, and had more size,
is that guy.
Who's
he,
that?
He lives in Buffalo.
You know what? But that's what? That's one out of
correct.
How many?
This just goes to show how few. You know why there were blowouts the other day? Because of disparity in quarterbacks and how few good quarterbacks there really are in the league. And when you go from tier one to tier two, even how wide that gap is.
Yeah. And
you know,
I don't think anybody
might be too simplistic of a.
I don't think it is. I think when you we say it all the time, the NFL is a quarterback driven league, and it's the truth. And as long as it's a quarterback driven league, game plans and systems and entire organizations are going to be built around quarterbacks.
If Haskins was mentally bought in and had everything, all his ducks in a row, and could figure it out, he is the guy. He is the guy. He's the guy that walks off the bus. He's the guy that's at practice. He's the guy that's at 7-on-7, and you go, oh my God. But then you put him in games and you go, How did he lose all of this?
Yeah, I think this is just my opinion. I think Tomlin would like even more mobility than Haskins provides. Like, so for example, I just went through and read a quick primer on the six guys that are considered the top quarterbacks in this year's draft class. All right, Corral, Howell, Pickett, Ritter, Strong, and Willis. All right.
All right.
I'll just run through heights real quick. Okay.
Got it.
Kenny Pickett, 6'3". Matt Corral, 6'2". I believe he's the smallest
of
the bunch.
But he's only like 195, 200 pounds. He's slight. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, Desmond Ritter is 6'4". He's bigger. Then you get your down to Malik Willis. He's actually the smallest of the bunch.
Yes.
6'1", the quarterback from Liberty. And you get Sam Howell, also a 6'1" quarterback from North Carolina. And 6'4", but dinged up. We don't know how healthy he is. Carson Strong from Nevada. So, like, I read through this primer, and just based on the size of the guys and their abilities, like, Desmond Ritter, the kid from Cincinnati, I think, I don't know if he has the talent level to be that tier one quarterback that you mentioned. I think he's a tier two, probably. But I think when you talk about body type and skill set, that's what I envision. Like, if he's there at 20, I think Mike Tomlin's going to be banging his fist on the table saying, guys, we got to take this guy. This is what we need in our offense. This is what I want in our quarterback.
When I watch, I agree with you. I think you might be right. When I watch these quarterbacks, you know what I started thinking just the other day? When you watch Josh Allen, when you see guys that are big and good, you know how ahead of his time Randall Cunningham was?
Oh, my God.
People point to Michael Vick or this. Randall Cunningham's the guy. And he's the guy.
And was not really utilized the way he could have been.
Randall Cunningham in today's game, Randall Cunningham was like 6'4", 225 pounds or something like that. 6'5", maybe.
6'4", yeah, they list them 6'4", 212. But yeah, he could do all that stuff with his legs.
Correct.
That quarterbacks now, pump
fake and throw on the run and throw on the fly. And he was so ahead of his time. We talk about Slash, or we talk about Michael Vick. Or we talk Randall Cunningham's the one that you plug into today's game, and he's even better with these offenses. You spread him out a little bit. You give him a little space to run. You protect the quarterback, you know? But, yeah, it is going to be really fascinating to see what route they go. And if you – can you do both? I think that's still the biggest question. Can you draft one of those guys and bring in that free agent and have that guy play? But then you'd have to get rid of Haskins.
No, I don't think they do.
You might as well just play Rudolph, right? If you bring in that guy,
You bring in the rookie,
yes,
I think that's the plan. If here's the way. Now this is tough because free agency opens up before the draft, right? So you've got to figure out what you want to do before the draft comes along and before you know what you want to do. I think you still try to sign yourself a veteran quarterback, right? Okay. A stopgap, a bridge,
Minshew,
whatever you want to call it. I don't know about Minshew. I don't know. But like
what about Mitch Trubisky?
If he's healthy, like a Teddy Bridgewater type, right? Okay. You sign a guy like that, and he's a game manager, right? That's the guy that you have. He's the break glass in case of emergency quarterback. If Rudolph falls on his face, Haskins shows that he hasn't really improved at all, and you can't draft someone. But if you go into the draft now with Rudolph, Haskins, and your Teddy Bridgewater-type quarterback, and you're able to draft a guy, like let's say Mike Tomlin's enamored with, I'll use Desmond Ritter as the example again, and they draft Ritter, well, that's when you go, listen, all four of you are going to come to camp, but one of you isn't going to make the – two of you might not make the team for that matter. And that's the way I would play it anyway, but it was reassuring to me to hear Mike Tomlin say yesterday – that report of him not having any interest in a young quarterback wasn't necessarily 110% true. That he's willing to draft one, even if it means he won't start him right away. Doug Whaley talking about drafting, building teams, all of that. He'll join us at 9 o'clock in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour, another Wednesday with Whaley. Ray Fittipaldo up in just 17 minutes. He joins us every Wednesday at 8. We'll ask him what he thought. It is a Fan Morning Show presented to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Ray Fittipaldo in about 11 minutes or so. And why is the perception of one thing in particular seem to be so wildly different on a national level rather than a local level? We'll get into that at 8:30. But a simple question, because we've been bombarded with them lately. by our friends, some of whom are doing them as fundraisers for their kids' teams. So it'll be huge in a couple of weeks here with the Super Bowl being played. Block polls. Are you a fan or not?
Yeah, we've come a long way from like Rick Neuheisel getting fired for an NCAA poll to now people doing them to fundraise for their U8 travel softball team or whatever.
Yes.
Or hiding them when someone walked in the bar that shouldn't be in the bar,
that's
hanging up behind the bar, and then putting it back up when that person leaves, to now advertising them on Facebook. Block polls, I'm not a gigantic fan, but I will throw a couple dollars down for the philanthropic endeavor of the whole situation and say, oh, I'm helping out this travel volleyball team or this travel softball team or whatever. And then I never really check it. Like, I'll just, if somebody, I'm not hanging on it. Like, oh, I need 8-2. Come on. They got a 5. I need a field goal here. I always forget about them.
I don't hang on them. Look, I'll hang on
a game that I bet, though.
Even as bad as my picks have been this year, and I'm tied with Jim for last in our picks competition, even as bad as my picks have been, I would much rather spend my money on those, my somewhat educated guesses at how a game is going to go, rather than just the randomness of, hey, give me that block and let me know what numbers come up on it later. And it's one of those ones where the numbers change every quarter. Okay, great. So I don't like the randomness of it. My wife loves it. You could give her a block poll for a Tuesday night Pirates Brewers game, and she'd be in on it. You could block poll anything. Block poll, two kids running down the street somehow and give them scores for it. She'd be in on any block poll. They don't do it for me.
Yeah, I don't mind it because of the randomness of it. Oh, well, I got a chance to win. It's just a shot in the dark. If you get 7-0 or 3-7 or 3-0, whatever, you think you got a chance.
And then you somehow get screwed anyway. You're like, oh, I had the best numbers.
Right. Oh, I got 5-1.
Nick Costos told me 3-7 were the most important numbers.
I'm supposed to win. I wonder, how did block polls start? I'm not asking you to fashion an answer or supply one for me, but I wonder how they start. I wonder who the first person goes, you know, it could be 0-9, and if we go on a grid like my kids' times table situation here.
We'll have 10
we
here.
We go
10
across
there.
This way. We randomly draw them. Then if we go up, and it could only be 2. It could be this or that, and that's it. And then we get enough people to sign up for all those squares.
And multiply
it
by 100.
Bang. We're good, and we can raise money. Then I'm going to get my take. Of course, we're putting this pool together. So we do that, and bang, there's a payoff. I wonder the very first block poll and how it probably originated in Mon Valley. But that said,
Manesson, Denora.
Certainly somewhere down there. But I wonder who came up with the idea first and how it happened, because they're genius. Totally genius.
And like you pointed out, it was the only way. Like, I remember being a kid and being in high school, right? You couldn't legally gamble. I mean, you couldn't legally gamble now if you're in high school anyway, because you got to be 18, right?
But well, speak for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are kids out there. Anyway. I would make pick'em contests, right?
Oh, yeah.
Me and all my friends, and we'd all pitch $5 or whatever it might be, and whoever did the best would be the winner and get the money. But block polls, even then, when it was one of the only avenues available for gambling, weren't attractive to me. Matt, you into block polls at all?
Yeah, do you like block polls?
Like you guys are saying, it's all chance. It's all random. So it's, I will if it's a good cause, but I mean, I go into it fully expecting not to win.
Yeah, it's donation.
It's just I'm throwing, essentially just giving the money away.
Right.
Jim just threw his hand up back there because he's bothering Matt right now.
Well, he likes them or
he
what?
He loves block polls.
He does? He would. He would. Well, he starts at 8 o'clock. I don't want to hear from him until then.
You got 6.5 minutes,
yes.
Jim.
I do miss, and now the advent of technology, it's easier and it's better, whatever. I just do miss the old parlay cards where you tore off the bottom and you circled the number, you handed it to somebody that collected everything, you kept the top part, and then, and it had numbers 1 to 100 or how many ever they had on there, and you picked the games, and the old parlay ticket, the old card.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we all love the convenience of just being able to go to an app on our phone, but I haven't been, in the sports book probably pre-pandemic.
No.
And I'm feeling that old magnetic animalistic draw to the betting window. Like, I have to just go experience it again sometimes.
Yeah,
soon.
That's something I think that's lost in this process of being of it being so easy, is walking up to the cage and just handing somebody money. And then if you win, cashing out there and then tipping the person and then feeling a communal spirit with all of that.
Yeah.
Like, but those old school, man, those old school parlay sheets, those tickets, they were so great. And then you'd go down and they'd list – like a team, the ranked teams, the ranked college teams would be on the left, right? And it'd say like Michigan, Idol, because they were off that week, and it'd be listed on there. You couldn't pick that game, so there'd be no number allocated to it. Then you go down, and it would list the pro teams by, they would be listed as their like Steelers, Browns, whatever. And the college teams would be listed. And the early season was great. Because there'd be gigantic spreads.
Yes.
You know, like Alabama.
34 and a half.
Yeah, Alabama would be playing, you know, whomever, Appalachian State or whatever. And you'd, oh, should I pick this one? And you got paid out more the more, like, one, if you pick three games, you won $9. If you four games for $1, you would win $12. It went up all the way up to, like, 10 for 150. Or whatever. And so should I pick three games or should I pick seven? Well, you can't get any in your grandfather. You know, if you miss one, you're screwed. You got to get them all right. You're like, well, how many should I pick, Pop? I don't know. Four seems like a good number for you. Well, I'm in second grade here. What do you think I should do? I'm just kind of getting into...
Just pick a few.
Just pick three. Who do you think... Well, what is minus seven and plus... What does plus three mean? Well, it's kind of like if you start the game 3-0, and then if they beat them from there, just act like
add
it's 3-0.
Add 3 to that team score.
Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute, this is
this changes everything. The first time point spreads are explained to you as a kid, it's like that gif of the guy and he's going like this and his head's exploding. He's
so you're telling me the Steelers could win, but I won't win.
Even though I picked the Steelers.
No, they got to win by 9 points if it says 8.5. Well, why would I pick that game then?
Well, because that's how you make money.
So I would go, I'd pick everyone that was even money.
Yeah.
Or minus 0.5 was essentially.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of pick the winner. But that when I was a little kid, that was my move.
But yeah, I'm not down for block polls. I'm just not. I actually want to ask Kostos about this tomorrow. Like, he's going to complete. I'm curious what his opinion on.
I bet he loves the nostalgia of them.
Of the block poll?
Yes, and likes them. That's my take. I'm going to ask Ray. Ray being...
I'm sure Ray's in about 37, running about 37 different block polls.
Last name ends in a vowel. He's from Pittsburgh. You think Ray's ever been in a block poll?
Never, never.
Come on.
It's all for charity, guys. Yeah. Ray Fittipaldo covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.